Hey, it's Brian Murphy here, and whether you're orchestrating a corporate gathering, gearing up for a team-building session, or just seeking a spot to savor thrilling sports and activities, the Clubhouse in Fremont is the go-to destination for bistro, bar, bocce, golf, and fitness. From team-building to private golf lessons on any one of 140 golf courses around the world, the Clubhouse in Fremont has you covered. Visit FremontClubhouse.com to learn more about their amazing amenities and private events. The Clubhouse in Fremont, the Bay Area's place to play.
Welcome back to Extra Innings on the full opening weekend for the San Francisco Giants. And my guest today has a great job. I just enjoy talking to her and getting to know her a little bit. Her title is Manager of Education and Cultural Development. Let me bring in Laura Nunez and let's find out what she does for the San Francisco Giants. How are you today, Laura?
Doing well, Bill. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for joining me. And let's go back in time. You've been with the Giants since 2016. Let's go before that. Let's go back in your days in Santo Domingo when your dad really kind of introduced you to baseball because he was a softball player and you kind of learned the game from him. And tell us how that all came about when you were a little daughter in Santo Domingo.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I remember, you know, Saturdays was softball day with dad and his friends from work. And, you know, he would just take me to the park, and I would kind of just hang out there, you know, dugout, you know, anywhere you could really hang out and kind of just see the game and learn from them. And, you know, to this day, I hear the sound of the cleats, the smell of the gloves and the baseballs, and it just brings me back to those, you know, Saturday mornings with dad. That's where I learned to play catch, kind of learned, you know, the ins and outs of you know, teams and how guys interact with each other and just the fun that, you know, being a ball player is. So
yeah, and you also, your dad also took you to the Dominican Republic Winter Ball, and that's where you really kind of fell in the game of baseball and started following the stars and starting to understand the game of baseball. But one of the things that I really thought was impressive was in Santo Domingo, you went to an English-speaking high school, and you kind of learned to be bilingual. How was that in high school level, and what made you do that?
Well, yeah, I actually, I lived in New York when I was about seven, eight with my grandparents. And, you know, that's where I picked up the language. And when we moved back to the Dominican Republic, I think that they thought it was important, for me and my sisters to, you know, continue speaking the language and kind of understanding the U.S. culture. And so they enrolled us in an all bilingual school. Basically the only two subjects I had in Spanish were, you know, Dominican history and Spanish. So to this day, I feel more comfortable like writing, reading, and doing most of the things in English. And it was, you know, it was an awesome experience. It allowed us to, you know, still be in our home in the Dominican Republic, but also, you know, become really familiar with the U.S. culture and, you know, speak the language, which I think is an incredible tool to have nowadays and back then as well. So that was a really awesome experience and, you know, forever thankful and grateful to my grandparents for taking those steps with us and really providing us with, you know, a second language as a great gift.
And what you did with that gift, you really helped the Dominican Republic people, the disparities to giving people access to language and to learn skills from it. And that kind of sets you up in this new role. Tell us a little bit about what happened between high school and then learning how to translate and get back to the people.
Yeah, so, you know, when you in the Dominican Republic, bilingual schools are usually, you have a little bit more privilege. And I wasn't really aware of that until I graduated high school and went on to college. And then I really started to see the disparities and the things that, you know, I wasn't aware of as a child growing up. And I always had the calling of, you know, giving back. You know, I think my grandparents gave me the gift of English. And so I went into teaching at a very young age. And I started, first of all, with, you know, with little kids, and that was super fun. But then as I started to get older, I eventually started teaching for this program that was called the English Immersion Program in the Dominican Republic. And it is a national program, and what it does is it provides scholarships for underserved college students in the Dominican Republic. And, you know, I fell in love with, you know, just giving back and just being supportive and providing, you know, a career in essence for college students if, you know, for any reason their actual careers didn't pan out. I think just being a bilingual in the Dominican Republic is a career in itself. So after a little while, I kind of made my way up in that program, and eventually I started supervising nationally. And that means that I would get to travel to, you know, small towns where this program was in place, and the impact that, you know, the English language had on the communities and, you know, jobs it created and how it changed, you know, families. Was completely amazing to me, and that's something that I'm deeply committed to, just giving back and providing, you know, leveling the ground, providing an opportunity for people who, you know, may not necessarily be able to leave their hometown, but, you know, can I don't know, operate, you know, in a tourist, for example, in a touristic environment and provide services for tourists, and that's a great job in itself. So realizing the impact that that alone had was something that I, you know, I'm very proud of and hold very close to my heart.
Yeah, I felt that in reading a couple of articles on you, and I just wanted to bring that up because those are things that happened before you got into this job. Major League Baseball had a job opening for the San Francisco Giants, and literally it wasn't what you're doing now. It was kind of just set up to help players, but you have taken a different role with this. And tell us some of the things that you do with the Latin players and a lot of the prospects. Of course, they're so young. And tell us some of the things that you have set up for them.
Yeah, so, you know, English, of course, is, you know, teaching English and setting up an English program for them to be able to develop communication skills and language and thrive when they're out here, you know, competing and working with their teammates and coaches in English is something that is, you know, super important to the program. So I would list that as number one. And then we also have the CENAPEC program, which is the equivalent of a GED program. A lot of the players don't get the chance to, you know, finish high school or even finish school. And we have a literacy program and a CENAPEC program, which is gives them the opportunity to graduate high school. Aside from that, we have a life skills program, and that goes, you know, it includes everything. You know, it teaches them how to be a professional, how to, you know, make good decisions and improve their critical thinking skills, set up bank accounts, and then anything that you can imagine that goes with, you know, the life skill programs is kind of falls under my umbrella. And it is one of my favorite things about the job is just supporting the guys, not only in, you know, their, I guess, professional development and giving them the tools, but, you know, helping them out as humans. You know, this is how how you order food. Right. This is, you know, this is how you set up a bank account. Sometimes I'm a shoulder to cry on. Sometimes I'm, you know, that voice that pulls them in a little closer, like, hey, you got to straighten up and, you know, you got to do better. Sometimes I'm that person that listens to family problems, and you name it. I mean, and I think that's my favorite part of the job. Absolutely.
Well, one of the things I love to hear is you're 5'4". You have energy like a lion, and you're dealing with a male-dominant profession in baseball, and some of these guys are 6'4", 6'5", maybe even 6'6". You never know, but, you know, these are guys that are all upcoming prospects, and some of the things you have to do is kind of break down that barrier to have them understand what you're trying to do for them, as well as what you're preceding for them to get better at. How is that is difficult?
Yeah, so, you know, it goes back to, like, that time in the dugout with my dad and his buddies, you know, being a, I don't know, 4, 5, 6-year-old, and just being around, you know, big men and yelling, and it doesn't really intimidate me. It doesn't, you know, it feels like home to me, and you know, these guys are super generous and kind, and really, when they understand that you're someone that they can trust, and you're someone that is there to really just provide support for them, they take you in and they, you know, they go to you. And so to me, it hasn't really been, you know, I think the fact that they're huge, was definitely like my first, you know, my first month there was like, okay, these guys are a real deal. Mm-hmm. But you know, once you break down that barrier of like size and stuff, I think, they become very accepting and they become very, relying on you. So, again, one of my favorite parts of the job.
We'll be right back on Extra Innings with Lauren Nunez on The Leader, Sports Leader. So we'll be right back with the second half of Lauren Nunez's conversation with me. Welcome back to Extra Innings, speaking to Laura Nunez, who's the Manager of Education and Cultural Development with the Latin Players. And I love a couple of your comments that you make. You say, you're on the field for 5 hours and you have 19 hours to get in trouble. So as a mentor, as you are, you pretty much present them with different things they can do, an English class, some of the other things. Tell us some of the things that you have generated with the younger players, as well as how they get some English classes, how you teach that.
Yeah, well, I think the best approach to teaching these guys is, you know, first, we have to earn their trust. And I say we, and it's a, you know, it's a team effort. It's not just me. So the teacher is in place. You know, we earn their trust and then we build from there. We really evaluate what their needs are. You know, some of them might be at a higher literacy level than others. Others may have, you know, some English education. I mean, can I just build from there and make it, a universal type of program throughout the minor league, so they don't feel like, you know, they're seeing something different in the Dominican Republic than they're seeing here. We just kind of vary the complexity of that. Aside from that, building on, you know, outside or out of the field abilities, I think is one of the most important things. You know, like I said, you have those 19 hours. If you're not making those good decisions, if you're not, you know, using that time wisely to develop, to, you know, continue your progress, then, you know, chances are you're probably not going to do very well in the game. And so having those honest conversations with them and presenting them, you know, with, you know, these are healthy activities that we can do in the States and as well as in the DR, goes a long way with them, and they can see that there's a change in attitude and a change in, you know, expectations and results in their career. So I think that they value that a lot. You know, activities that we can do out here in Arizona, some of the things they love is just, you know, we come up with these activities. We'll go hiking or we'll take them to the zoo or we'll, mm-hmm. you know, do whatever, whatever it takes to get them to kind of see the different options that they have off the field. And so that when they're on their own, they're able to make those good decisions and they're able to engage in activities that are productive or that will help them develop.
My guest is Laura Nunez. You know, Laura, I played winter ball three different countries, and it was difficult for us to go into these countries and not know Spanish. I didn't take Spanish in high school, and it was a fear for the Americans to go there. And I can just understand the fear of the Latin players coming into the United States in that same predicament. When you talk about off-field issues, some of the things that they need to learn, of course, as you said, banking, going to the grocery store, learning different foods. Is this something that you embrace with them and just kind of give them a kind of a heads up of what's coming at them?
Oh, absolutely. In the DR, we have, I call it like a grounds up program, and we start introducing them to everything. Like you mentioned, and I'm sure the culture shock is, you know, huge in itself, but then you have all these little extras. Understanding that when the guys first, you know, get to the States, if they don't have the language, they have so they have like multiple problems. They don't have the language, they have culture shock, but then they still need to perform, and then they still need to continue to develop and make good decisions and make sure their nutrition is on point and not miss the van and all these things that we really start a little earlier with. You know, with the guys that are here in the States, we probably started back in the Dominican Republic kind of giving them orientation of These are the things that you should expect to feel and go through. You know, it's part of the process. It's normal. We can talk about it. Now I'm kind of opening up that door of, you know, reaching out like, hey, if you're confused, you're at McDonald's and you're confused, it's okay. Say number one, say number one or say number two. So, you know, they quickly figure it out. And, you know, one of the things that I've loved in, you know, seeing how this role of mine has developed and changed over the years is, you know, the first group of guys that I worked with in 2016, those are the same guys that are giving the newer guys like tips. So they're kind of just teaching each other and serving each other as mentors. And so I love the spirit and the, you know, teammate attitude and leadership that is being developed within them and, you know, guiding the younger ones. And, you know, some of them will come up to me like, hey, you know, this guy is new, so don't you worry about him. I got him. I'll teach him how to do this. And that's, you know, that's just wonderful to see.
Well, as spring training of March of 2020 happened and the pandemic hit and everybody was going different ways, you were stuck with 25 international players that could not get out of America. They couldn't get out of the USA. And you more or less had to put them in homes, in apartments, and kind of take a track on them per day. How difficult was that for them as well as for them trying to reach out to their families in different parts of the world?
Yeah, you know, that was really, really difficult because we were all used to that in-person interaction and not being able to see each other. And, you know, as a culture, I know that we're warm towards each other and just seeing each other and, like, you know, bumping fists or, like, just giving each other a nod. We didn't have that. And that sense of support was really hard to kind of convey over the phone, you know. We tried with, you know, periodical Zoom classes and engaging them. I would check up on them. Some of them, went to, you know, family that they had in the States, but they still checked in. And also, you know, kind of providing that support of like, hey, you know, baseball is not really happening right now, but your progress needs to continue. You can't let your guard down. So it was more of a, you know, I'm here for you type of role and I'm here to, you know, if you need to talk, if you're confused, if you're, scared, you know, there's this funny story of, one of the guys, he didn't, it was when they still didn't, you know, it wasn't clear if we should wear a mask or not wear a mask right at the beginning of the pandemic. And he's like, Laura, I go to the store and I'm like, you know, I'm going through the aisles and I'm holding my breath and I get back to the hotel and I can't breathe. So I'm like, well, don't hold your breath. You know, just make sure you wash your hands, you know, don't touch your eyes, kind of just giving them that support. And really, we're all figuring out together, yeah. You know, and for them to see that we're all struggling together, we're all kind of figuring it out and, you know, just wash your hands, don't touch your eyes. Type of thing, mm-hmm. Really helped us. And, you know, providing them with also support. Some of them had, you know, sick family members back home. They're, you know, worried sick. They couldn't go see them. It was a tough time. It was a tough time, for sure. And when they were able to go back home, you know, one of my colleagues, who's a great friend, we just kept checking like, hey, is Venezuela open again? Like, hey, can we, you know, are these guys going to be able to go back home? And see their families, you know, it was definitely very, very hard.
Well, you work right on the side of Kyle Haynes, who's the director of player development in the minor leagues. A lot of times you guys get on the same phone call and try to translate for him. And one of the things he said is, you know, all of us here help our players. We help them on the field. But Laura Nunez doesn't get enough credit for what she does to help us with these players. When you hear something like this from Kyle Haynes, what does that tell you about him?
I mean, Kyle is, you know, superb. He's probably the best boss I've ever had. It's great working for him. And really hearing that from him, it's not that he doesn't tell me. He does tell me. But hearing that, it just fills my heart kind of reaffirms that what we're doing is something special and something that's valued. So, I'm truly, you know, thankful and grateful every day to get up and go to work with these guys. These are amazing human beings. And he says I don't get enough credit. I think it's, you know, mostly his vision. mostly his vision. And he was actually a mentor to me my first year. And I keep telling him, like, a lot of the things that I understand about the needs, you know, is because we had these impromptu conversations. He served as a guide, really, for me to help kind of figure out what was needed and get it going. So, yeah, that's what I have to say about that.
Well, you know, it started by going in the dugout with your dad, and now it kind of goes through the cycles, and now your dad is the proudest father in Dominican, Santo Domingo. And, you know, what does that tell you about your dad following your career, following all the positives that you have done, and now you are helping some of the greatest prospects in the San Francisco Giants organization?
Let me tell you, my dad is out of control. He's every picture I see, it's him wearing a San Francisco Giants shirt, and I'm like, you have to wear a button up every now and then, Dad. It's just amazing. He's so proud. I think he's living through me. I remember this one time. I think it was my first year, and we went to the DR Academy, and Felipe Alou was there, and I've never seen my dad, you know, just bouncing around like, hey, can we go say hi to him? Can we go talk to him? And it was just really amazing to kind of be able to make my dad see that in me and make him proud. So,
well, at 5'4", 5'4", you say, I love a challenge. Respect is earned. And you said, success is to get to the big leagues, and that is the most rewarding point in my job. Tell me your final thoughts on that.
Absolutely. I think that we do all this, and I think like Kyle said, we focus on the guy. We focus on the human. And seeing them succeed in their dreams, the effort, when you hear the stories, you know, the effort that they put in into their work, the effort that they put into, you know, getting noticed, getting signed, then the effort that they put into, you know, English classes and, you know, making it out here and making the good decisions and really evolving and focused on nutrition. When you see them succeed, when they call you and they're like, Laura, I got called up, or, you know, it's, uh-huh. I mean, that's why you're here.
That gives you goosebumps just as much as they do.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. And I tell them that, and I don't think they believe me enough. And I tell them, like, you know, when you guys have success in your craft, I'm being successful at mine. So,
well, you are Laura Nunez, you know? And you are doing a fantastic job. And congratulations on everything that you've been doing and continued success. And thank you so much for spending some time with me on Extra Innings today. And I can't wait to meet you somewhere down the road. I'll run into you. But like I said, all these players, all the Latin players, as well as all the English players, are seeing what you are doing. And it's definitely making a big impact on these players.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Bill. The attention is humbling, to say the least.
I appreciate it, Laura. You have a good rest of the week and continued success. That was Laura Nunez on Extra Innings. So we'll be right back on 104.5, 680 KNBR, the sports leader.
Golfers, get ready to elevate your Saturday mornings. Yeah, it's Brian Murphy here, and I am thrilled to introduce the Clubhouse Corner with Ben and Eddie. This is a passion project from the good folks at the Clubhouse in Fremont. These two are on a mission to make golf accessible and enjoyable for the masses. So set your alarm. 7 a.m. every Saturday, join Ben and Eddie at the Clubhouse Corner. Only on KNBR.